decided that rather than spend some time this week working diligently over a sermon for the 9 o'clock service, I've asked her to do both. So she was only sort of contractually obliged to do one. So it's, you know, we're lucky that she's decided to stay with us and unpack God's word for us. So let's pray for her and pray for us to be open to hear what God wants us to take away from today's words and readings. Dear Lord, give us open hearts, give us open imaginations, give us an open life to what it is that you are calling us to hear today, and to take with us into tomorrow and the week ahead. Give us your Holy Spirit to understand and discern what it is that you call upon us, to hear where healing is needed and to challenge where challenge is needed. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we thank you for Sue. Amen.
Actually, I prepared the sermon for this service, so it's hopefully more relevant to you. But, well, we'll see.
It was relevant to the 9 o'clockers.
Yeah, well, I think it was. Yeah. I think it was. But it's slightly different from what I said at 9 o'clock. Basically the same, but slightly different. Anyway. Around the coast of the UK, there are lots of what I call thin places. Now, thin places are not so called because the altitude is any higher or the air is any thinner. These places are called thin because it is believed that in these places, the distance between heaven and earth shrinks, and the veil between the two worlds is so thin that you can actually perceive something of heaven itself. Ancient people, the ancient Celts, built many of their worship sites on thin places. And in this part of Wiltshire, we're lucky. We've got lots of places which over centuries people have thought are thin. They are special. You encounter the numinous, the divine, something else in those places. So the Celts built many worship sites. And then later on, Christians built churches on those sites and monasteries also. And some people who visit these sites today will say that they lose all track of time and space. And they know that somehow, deep down inside, they are on holy ground. They may not be able to describe that or express it, but they know, deep inside, they are on holy ground. Because when you're in a thin place, the boundaries of time and space fade away. There's no yesterday, today, or tomorrow. It's only like eternity stretching onwards in an endless continuum. Today, in this service, as we are commissioning lay worship leaders and licensing a lay minister, I think it's good to be thinking about thin places, about how through leading worship we might help people to discover thin places and through them to encounter the divine. In the book of Revelation, the author invites us to peek through that gossamer veil to glimpse something of heaven itself. And of course, it's often said that we're going to be surprised by the people we will meet in heaven. If John's vision is an accurate one, then that will definitely be the case. John talks about all the people from the 12 tribes of Israel who will be in heaven, 144,000 of them. 144,000 is a perfect number because it symbolizes 12 tribes of Israel times 12. So if 12 is perfect, 12 twelves are even more perfect. And that's times 1,000. So that's a ginormous number. That is a whole load of Jews. Think about it. 144,000. So an immense number of Jews. And that reminds us, as Christians, that we are branches who've been grafted into that faith, that ancient faith of Judaism. Then John broadens his vision even further, saying that in heaven, there will be people gathered from every single nation and tribe and language on earth, all giving praise to the Lamb who sits on the throne. Now, if we're honest, we all have our blind spots, our prejudices. So I suspect all of us are going to be surprised by some of the people we will find sitting at the Lamb's eternal banquet table with us in heaven. Because we will see people there who we have thought are unforgivable, irredeemable, people against whom we've long held grudges or prejudices, people from the nations we have called the enemy, or people we failed even to notice in this life because of their poverty or disease or station in life. Well, they will all be there. For no matter how inclusive we think we are in our embrace of others, heaven is far more inclusive. But inclusivity is not the only thing that will surprise us when we meet heaven. I think we're going to be surprised by what people are doing in heaven. When heaven is depicted in romantic art, think of all those art galleries with those famous ancient paintings. Heaven is depicted quite often as a group of cherubs playing their harps delicately, and people lounging around on the clouds as if they're on a perpetual holiday. Wonderful peace, beautiful music. But when you peer through John's veil, what you see is that heaven is actually a very active place. People are worshipping and they're serving God and others constantly. They're not lying around enjoying the music. When John looks through the veil, what he sees are people of every tongue and tribe and nation gathered around the throne of the Lamb, singing. And they're singing blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and wisdom and might be to our God forever and ever. Heaven is a worshipping place. Now, if you like singing God's praise here on earth, which from this morning so far I think you do, then you just wait till you get to heaven, because that is going to be a completely awesome experience. That will be one perpetual hallelujah chorus. Got that? Hallelujah. Enthusiasm for worshipping? Come on! You're almost as bad as the 9 o'clock congregation. That's better! It's going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. But, there's always a but, the Greek word used for worship in this passage also can refer to work, as in labour, that's performed for wages. So this worship is not just the kind that stays in the nice cosy throne room with God. This is the kind of worship that extends out into the streets in the service of others. So think about the noise, open doors, street pastors, your mission to your local community and the mission throughout the world. That is worship of God. And finally, I think we're going to be surprised in heaven by the scope of healing that we will encounter there. I suspect that many of us already think of heaven as a place of personal healing. It's a comfort to know that our loved ones, many of whom have suffered illness in this life, will be completely whole in the life to come. But when John lifts up that veil and lets us glimpse into heaven, we see that the healing is far broader than that of our own lives and the lives of our loved ones. For heaven is also a place where all the injustices of this world will finally be made right, where the lowly will be lifted up and the mighty brought low, as Mary foretold in her wonderful song, the Magnificat. Heaven is a place where God's vision of a community of justice and peace will finally hold sway. So I wonder, do you have any thin places in your own life? There may be a place that you know, that you return to, where you feel closer to God. It may not be a place, it may be an experience. Sometimes a sunrise or a sunset or a rainbow can do that, make you just feel that you're so much closer to God. It's somewhere where the veil between heaven and earth seems just gossamer thin, where you know that you're standing on holy ground in the presence of a holy God. So where are the thin places in your own life? For me, there is one particular place which I think of as a thin place. and that's Allamouth Friary on the Northumberland coast. And every year I go there on retreat in October. And the wonderful thing about going to the Northumberland coast in October and staying with Franciscan friars is that the time they have their morning prayer is the time the sun rises. The time they have their evening prayer at that time of year is when the sun's setting. And their chapel their friary is on the top of, it's not quite a cliff, but on top of a headland, looking out over the bay where the river joins the sea. And their chapel has amazing plate glass windows. So as you're saying morning and evening prayer, you're seeing the sunrise and the sunset. And it is absolutely awesome. It really brings home the wonder of creation and our fantastic Creator God. But also it's there on the coast. And I spend a lot of time walking up and down the beach, just standing, watching the sea. There's something about the sea that's ever-changing, but ever constant. And when I'm there, I sense that I am communing with Christians from all over the world and throughout the ages. And when I'm there, it seems like God is so much closer, more tangible, almost within touching distance. That's sort of what I mean by a thin place. Of course, you don't have to go as far as Northumberland or anywhere else to find a thin place. There are often times in worship that can be thin places when God, you can almost touch God or feel that you are being touched by God. Sometimes when I'm standing at the altar, I feel like I'm standing on holy ground and that veil between heaven and earth grows strangely thin. I was talking to someone after the 9 o'clock service and we were saying how sometimes some of the tiny village churches I visit, where you might have only 6 people, there is something about being there in a building that has been worshipped in for thousands of years, that it's almost like the bones of the building, the stones are worshipping God. And there might only be a few of you in silence for a few minutes in that place, and you know that you are touching God. Something very special. Now, this is my challenge, especially to the people I am licensing and commissioning this morning. It was going to come. New lay worship leaders, Anna, Adrian, Abigail, Rachel, Kirsty and David, and Caroline, licensed lay minister, I encourage you to seek out thin places, whatever that means for you, and then to point others to those thin places, to invite others to join you in thin places, and to endeavour to create thin places during the worship you lead. It's a tall order, I know, but I want to inspire you and urge you to really find out how you encounter God and how you can help other people to encounter God in worship. If you need some thoughts, some guidance on how to go about this, then study the Beatitudes, that reading from Matthew's Gospel we heard this morning, Matthew chapter 5. The Beatitudes are amazing, and you can keep reading them, keep meditating on them, keep thinking about them. They proclaim God's values rather than our own. And they give us the divine perspective rather than our human perspective. The Beatitudes are attitudes to aspire to. What does it mean to be poor in spirit, to be humble, meek, to be merciful, to be pure in heart, a peacemaker, someone who's persecuted for righteousness' sake? So often when we really stand up for what God's righteousness, society will condemn us because they have a different perspective and don't recognise God's righteousness and justice for all. Our reading said, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. Some translations say happy are, happy are. But that's not really a very good translation from the Greek. The Greek says something more like, congratulations to you. Or even better still, good on ya. So good on you, Anna, Adrian, Abigail, Rachel, Kirsty, David and Caroline. Good on you for coming forward and offering yourselves for commissioned and licensed ministry and being willing to lead people in discovering thin places. I encourage you especially to think about those Beatitudes, to meditate upon them. And for all of you, as you look at them, think about whose face comes to mind. Who in this congregation models one or more of those Beatitudes? Think of the people around you. Who else is God calling to lead in worship and service? God calls all of us from our baptism. Each one of us is called by God to worship and to service. So who is God calling from among you to lead you in worship and service? I'll read those Beatitudes to you, so just think about the people around you as I read them. Who models one or more of them for you? Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Good on you, poor in spirit. Good on you who mourn. Good on you, the meek. Good on you for hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Good on you for being merciful. Good on you, pure in heart. Good on you, peacemakers. And good on you if you are persecuted because of righteousness. Today is a day for recognising thin places. So I invite you, metaphorically or for real, to take off your shoes. For you are standing, or your feet are placed, on holy ground. And if you open yourself to the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who allowed John that glimpse into heaven, you may find yourself transported to a place where the boundaries between this world and the next fade away, where you sense your unity with God and with all the saints who dwell in glory. To God be the glory, forever and ever. Amen.